Hello, Lifebookers from around the world, and thank you for tuning in to the Lifebook Member Podcast today. For Love Month, June 2020, powerful love month. Today's episode is exceptional, and I have a very special guest from StefanSpeaks.com. I will let him introduce himself so I don't butcher his name. How are you doing today, Stefan?
It's going well, thank you. And so the full name is Stefan Labossiere.
Stefan, thank you so much for coming on from StefanSpeaks.com. I love everything you're doing, my friend. Thank you for joining us and for joining the Lifebook community today.
Thank you.
So for first-time listeners, could you give a little background on yourself and what brought you into the world of relationships?
Wow. So my story is a bit long. Long story short, I never thought I'd be doing this. This is completely outside of my wheelhouse. My degree was in management information systems. So I'm an IT guy.
Oh, wow.
And when I graduated college, I was actually doing real estate investment. I was a manager at a call center. And I mean, I've failed classes because I didn't want to write papers. And now here I am, 10 books in, you know, I have no logical explanation for it. And it really has to do with my spiritual relationship with God. In that transition is where I found my purpose and where I realized this is what I need to be doing. But I will say that when I look back at my life, I see how the dots were connecting to this, because I was that person that people would randomly come to and tell their life story in the first conversation. I mean, you're a complete stranger telling me all your deep, dark secrets. I had no idea why. And people always seeking advice. And I was always fascinated with psychology. So even in college, when I would not want to go to class, psychology class, I was excited to be in. But again, I still never saw this coming. And just a series of events led me to this point, and me just continuously praying and asking God, what do I need to do next? And here I am.
That's incredible, man. It sounds like, you know, some people, they're divinely attracted to things, whether it's an occupation in their life or another person. Do you feel that that was the case here?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Even my ability to see success and to connect with people, I believe it's all divinely driven, because again, I never saw it. I never understood it. And even when I go speak now, I always tell people I do speaking engagements all the time and I don't even go planned. I'll just go on stage, pray before I go on stage, and just trust whatever needs to be said will be said.
Wow.
And it'll end up being this powerful event. And sometimes I don't remember everything I said. It just comes out. And that's just the honest to God truth.
I love it, man. Okay, well, we're vibing then. We're doing great here, you and me. I'm sure people can get into your work if they want to learn more about you. What I really want to dig into is basically the work that you've been exploring and the strategies and principles that you've picked up through your work. So can I start with the faith? Obviously, faith plays a huge role in your work. What can you tell us about the link between love relationships and personal faith?
So the first thing that pops in my mind is, in faith, you will learn a lot of discipline. Mm-hmm. All right. Like when you really plug into God and really try to strengthen your relationship with God, it's going to teach you a lot of discipline. Discipline that translates very much so into love relationships and relationships in general, as well as the ability to listen. You know, that's one of our struggles in relationships is communication, but listening. We get so caught up in our own feelings that we don't process what our partners are saying. We don't really take in and take a moment to understand it. But in faith, if you want to succeed with God, you have to learn how to listen to your spirit. And the skills that it requires to achieve that is going to be extremely beneficial when you're in a partnership. And now need to learn how to listen to your partner.
Oh, it's so true. I absolutely see that. I mean, in all areas of life, really, you know, making any choices, I would say, but especially in your love relationships. Yeah, that's absolutely critical. So it's about the kind of self-improvement aspect from your faith, but also kind of the faith itself allowing you to probably be more vulnerable and, you know, kind of open yourself up fully in a relationship.
Absolutely. And that to me is one of the greatest struggles that people are facing with both faith and relationships is total vulnerability. So many people are trying to operate with walls up, and they're putting their relationships and God in a box, and they're afraid to go outside of certain lines, and they don't understand that it's that restriction that is causing more problem. It's that fear that is derailing them in all of their relationships and their life decisions. So definitely learning how to be totally vulnerable is the key. You've got to allow love to completely flow out of you if you want to receive it in the same way.
Do you think that maybe this intellectual exploration of relationships that has kind of defined the later 1900s and the 2000s, like, do you think that's kind of detracted a little bit from the more spiritual and faithful side? I don't know if I'm making any sense there, but like, we as humans, when we go down a path, we sometimes neglect the other side of the coin. And I feel like we do a lot of intellectualizing with our relationships, right? A lot of psychotherapy, and you need marriage counseling, and that's all great. I really don't want to downplay any of that, but I almost feel like that's all kind of the right brain intellectual. I think maybe sometimes you need to look a little bit lower into your spirit. Am I making any sense there?
You're making perfect sense to me. And I absolutely agree. I do think we are overthinking and overanalyzing. And we're trying to put everything into these clinical terms and clinical studies. And sometimes you got to pull away from that. As you said, connect with your spirit. I will say, though, however, I think it has been more damaging to women than it has been to men. I do believe that due to the way that we are wired, men need a little bit of intellectual education as far as relationships, communication, so on and so forth. Because the way that we operate out of logic, that connects with us more. However, women's greater power is intuition, is feeling, is sensing. And so this overanalyzation is pulling them away from their greatest gift, getting in tune with their spirit. Women know. Like, they, in most cases, women know what's going on, but they actually overthink, over-rationalize, and pull themselves out of what their intuition is telling them. So I think it has been far more damaging to them and how they go about their relationships.
That's exactly what I was talking about. You put that very, very well. I'm glad that we land on that same subject. And I think it's a pendulum, right? We're always working towards that balance point. But yeah, I totally agree with you, man. I would like for you to share with us some maybe misconceptions, maybe some hangups that singles specifically may be holding about their future partners. I know you've done a lot of work in that field. And then maybe also, welcome to the Lifebook Podcast, where we do multi-part questions, long-winded questions. Also, what mind states, what approaches do you like seeing singles take?
Okay, so first, some of the hangups with their future partners. You know, the one thing that's popping in my head right now is this expectation of perfection from the person who loves you. You know, you see tons of memes that say a person who loves you would never do this and a person who loves you would never do that. And it's like, wait a minute, we are human beings and we all make mistakes. Some of you love God and you still turn your back on God. And that's not to judge you. That's just to speak to the reality of our struggles as people. So we have to understand that, yes, I do believe that the person who loves you will want to make things right with you. But do not mistake that with them not ever getting it wrong. And we have to not assume that they should already know. That's another misconception. Well, it's common sense. Well, common sense isn't always so common. And people are raised differently and they've gone through different experiences. And so you have to be willing to communicate your needs and desires. The person who does love you will embrace that. But we're expecting them to know without even telling them. And that's not fair. That's just not right. So to me, that's one of the hangups. Now, as far as mindsets for singles, I think number one is continuous growth. I believe that too many people think they're better than they are. And that's not, again, to insult them in any kind of way. You could be great, wonderful men and women, but that doesn't mean there aren't things that you need to improve before you can have a successful relationship. Because it's one thing to have a relationship. A lot of people can have a relationship. But if you want a successful, healthy relationship with the right person, there's a higher standard we have to meet in our lives, in our personal growth. So I think as a single person, you always got to be looking for how can I improve myself? How can I be better? Maybe it's in communication. Maybe it's in finding my purpose. Because if you're not, I always say, if you don't know where you're headed in life, you don't know who belongs on that path with you. Mm-hmm. So you've got to be very careful to be rushing the process of getting a partner before you found you. So focus on you, focus on your growth. And in doing that, and even more importantly, healing from all past issues, which to me is the thing that too many people are overlooking. There is a huge lack of healing, which contributes to all the dysfunction that we're seeing and so many people ending up with the wrong person. And so you can't overlook that while you're single, because I truly believe if you do not heal while you are single, you are 99% likely to end up with the wrong person. And yes, I've never done a scientific study, but as you know, I have millions of followers. I see thousands of DMs. I've seen these stories millions of times. And I'm telling you, if you don't heal, you're going to end up, it doesn't allow you to even embrace being with the right person when you're still hurting from your past.
You're so right. And our trauma guides us in our choices so discreetly that we need to wake people up to that fact and get people working on themselves. I think obviously tending to your own garden, self-improvement, this is all stuff that life bookers are, they're clapping along with us on that. What I thought was what I thought was particularly interesting though, really the two answers you gave both speak to ego, and that immediately made me go back to, you know, the lessons of so many great religious teachings all have to do with ego, letting go of your ego, humbling. You know, how many times does this theme of humbling come up in major religions? Do you think that it's kind of a humbling process, a bit of a adding of compassion? And also, like you're saying, not holding people to standards that you wouldn't hold yourself to, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, it's definitely a humbling experience. I definitely think we have to humble ourselves in our perception of self. We have to humble ourselves in understanding what is required to have successful relationships. For us to grow, we have to humble ourselves. For us to get closer to God, we have to humble ourselves. So I absolutely believe that that is a part of the process you have to be willing to embrace.
Anytime I've gotten deep into a field of something, you realize just how good some people are. When you said you're not as good as you think you are, that I think that might trigger some people who are very confident in their competency, maybe you could say. But I'll tell you, man, I think that's a powerful lesson to learn. I mean, there are so many fields where as soon as you get started, it's like the more you learn, the more you learn that you'll never learn at all, sort of thing.
Yeah, right.
Why? So if that applies to, I don't know, I mean, any gardening, if that applies to playing poker, Texas Hold'em, why wouldn't that apply to life in general, relationships, everything? I mean, mm-hmm. I think that there needs to be a bit of a consciousness awakening and then a humbling process there.
Absolutely. And I think part of the problem is that people want relationships to be easy, and there's almost a sense of entitlement when it comes to relationships.
So true.
You know, it's like people always say, well, everyone deserves love. Yes, everyone deserves to be loved. That does not mean you are ready to be in a relationship. Those are two different things. I can love you as a person. I can want to have compassion for you, be kind to you, and pour into you. But to be committed to you in a relationship requires that you meet a standard. Whoa. And that's why I believe love should be unconditional, but relationships are not. But people want them to be unconditional. They want to just run amok and act like you're supposed to love them, equaling, be with them, and stay with them regardless. So this entitlement has to go away.
That's 100% right. I was doing my monthly podcast with my father, John Butcher, founder of Lifebook. And he was saying, because he has an extraordinary relationship. Anyone who you know, is a Lifebook member knows John and Missy and their love life. And we were trying to dig into, you know, the key ingredients. And he said, first of all, it takes a commitment between the two parties separately that they're going to put everything else aside and commit fully, kind of like putting the ego aside, to having this loving relationship. I mean, how many people even have that conversation where they sit down and they say, that, listen, we're going all in here. This is the most deep connection. If it was entitled, if it was free, if it was easy, it wouldn't be special, would it?
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct.
I'd like to find out what other areas of life you find support romantic relationships the best. Clearly, spirituality plays a huge role for you, but I wonder if you could maybe weigh in on the other categories of life. Do you find that a strong health and fitness or an intellectual life or a strong character, what are our best supporters for the love category?
Health and fitness is so serious and so important to the health of a relationship, and people just don't get it right now. Mm. People do not understand that when our bodies are unhealthy, our minds will suffer. Our emotions will be triggered more easily. Our moods will take a hit. Our energy will drop. Things that will now negatively impact our relationships. The ability to be positive and loving is very difficult when you're pouring into your body nothing but poison and you're doing nothing to balance it out. Because the reality is, okay, I get it. Eating healthy for some people may be difficult, all right? Mm-hmm. But you have to at least create a balance that elevates your level of health. Mm-hmm. And I don't think people understand how below the line they are when it comes to their health. Quick example, a few years back, I've always been passionate about weightlifting and getting in shape. And so I became friends with this guy who was a bodybuilder. And so I'm doing these workouts and I'm not getting the results I thought I should be getting. He says to me, well, man, maybe your testosterone is low. First time I ever got hip to that or someone ever mentioned that to me. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, well, you know what? What do I do? He said, go get tested. Let's see what they say. I go to the doctor. Now, mind you, on the surface, I'm a functioning man. No one thinks I'm unhealthy. I have no health issues that we know about, nothing like that. But I go to the doctor, get tested. And now, in today's world, a healthy testosterone level for men is 300 to 800, which back in, I believe, 1960, it used to be 500 to 1,000. So they've dropped it to accommodate all the lower levels now.
Wow.
Okay. But with it even being 300, my score was 229. Mm. So I was below the bottom level, like way below.
And you're exercising and you're healthy. That's wild.
Exactly. So, but no, here's what I've found. We're not as healthy as we think we are. So just as we're not as good as we think we are, we're not as healthy as we think we are. So we mistake being able to function with healthy.
So true.
And we've become so conditioned to our low level of health, we don't know the difference between real good health and where we're at right now. So I had to change some things. I actually, to mention a couple of things, I looked into eating for my blood type. So I made those changes because I found out tomatoes, which I thought, hey, it's tomatoes. It's healthy. It shouldn't be a problem, right?
No nightshades for your particular blood type?
No.
Wow, man. Yeah, no, it's little stuff like that. Exactly. I always recommend people do those types of testing, any functional medicine tests or blood type tests. So that's right. We could all be doing a little better, right? And I loved that distinction. We think because we're getting through the day, we're, you know, dragging ass and making it to sundown.
Exactly.
That means we're healthy. And the days that we can't, we're unhealthy. That's not the case. Very good distinction.
Absolutely. So just going on that journey of changing my... So now I'm plant-based. So nice. Plant-based, and I eat for my blood type. And I've like adjusted the exercise that makes more sense for my body. Long story short, I'm way better than I was before. Energy better, mood better, focus better. Everything has improved. And so, yes, to go back to the original question, health and fitness plays a huge role in us being able to maintain healthy relationships. And I definitely think people need to pour more energy into that.
That worries me though, man, because in the United States of America, we've really lost track of our diet specifically. Mm-hmm. And we're having all these relationship problems and we're having all these health problems and we're having all these parenting problems. Divorce rates are up and, you know, fatherless homes and obesity and diabetes and early onset diabetes. I mean, I can see that link very, very clearly. And
absolutely.
And it's a little bit frightening, but I'm glad that there's people like you out there doing that who have, you know, literally millions of followers and you're espousing this sort of thing. So you're making a difference, man. We appreciate that.
I appreciate that as well. Thank you.
Yeah. I was going to
let me also go ahead, one thing real quick. When you were mentioning all those things happening, one of the big ways that health impacts the relationships is sexually. A lot of people are not satisfied in their relationship sexually, and that creates a huge disconnect in the relationship. And their lack of health is playing a big role in their ability to create a better sexual experience. So it's just so many ways that people are overlooking that if they would take it more seriously, they would see improvements.
I wonder, I mean, obviously, this is an amalgam of things, right? This is a whole concoction of what's led to the high divorce rate, the low quality of relationships, the misguided values in America. I think that, you know, poor health is huge. Social media, what do you think threatens the American relationship the most right now?
The biggest problem that people are facing is a lack of real connection. Mm-hmm. And when I say connection, I do not mean this force that you can just create with anybody. I mean something that is genuinely there between two people that you're not going to find with everybody. A lot of people are married to someone they don't even have the strongest feelings for. And that is the beginning of the end of that relationship. A lot of people saw things not work out at that time with the person they have a real connection with. And because people don't know how to deal with that, they go and run into the arms of someone else to help them cope, to help them get over it. And all they're doing is setting themselves up for a failed relationship. We need to take who we allow ourselves to be with a lot more seriously. You can't plug and play whoever you want. It doesn't work like that. And when you really start to sit down with couples and look into their relationships, lack of connection is the consistent thing that is missing. I have never, in all my years of doing this, found a couple whose relationship failed outside of two people being immature. So let me say this, because I don't want to give the wrong impression. I do believe that there are people who found that person they had a connection with, and due to it's not time, because I do believe in right person, wrong time, mm-hmm. it caused the whole thing to go off the rails, all right? Sure. But it simply was a matter of it wasn't time yet, not that's not the right person for you. Which is why you'll see situations where people don't work out. And then 10 years later, and maybe a few marriages in between, these people reunite out of nowhere. And it's almost like they never stop talking.
Wow.
The connection comes right back. The feelings are right there. Because the connection to me cannot be destroyed, nor can it be created. It is either there or it's not.
Wow.
And that goes back to what we spoke about earlier. When you are in tune with your spirit, the ability to see and embrace a connection is easier. But the more detached from your spirit you are, the harder you're going to have with seeing it for what it is or embracing it. But let me also say this. Many people see it, know it's there, and they run. They run because to be with the person you have a connection with requires a level of vulnerability that most people are afraid to embrace because they have not healed from their past.
That is what it is when it comes to the lack of vulnerability. You think it's not healing from a past? Do you think it has anything to do with like an ego, almost false self-esteem? I don't know. It probably, I mean, so much of the time you have trauma, right? Everybody has some form of trauma, let's be
exactly.
honest.
Exactly. And I honestly think that it's the trauma and past hurt that feeds that creation of the ego and the false self-esteem, because all of those things are defense mechanisms. They are walls up to protect them from having to be too vulnerable, you know? And a lot of people develop the mentality of, I'd rather hurt you before you hurt me. So I'm going to hit you before you get to me. And that's why they act out in the ways that they do.
That's exactly right. That makes perfect sense. I suppose this is a good segue here. I asked this question in a couple different categories, but I'm really excited to hear your answer. If you could banish one limiting belief, one negative thought that plagues the world of love relationships, which one would you choose?
Oh, let me see. One limiting belief.
You know, we had Marissa Peer on, and she is constantly telling people to write the words, I am enough, because she's tired of people with that limiting belief. Is there one limiting belief that you see in relationships time and time again that you wish you could just get rid of from the collective consciousness of humanity?
The one thing that comes to mind is the mentality of there aren't enough good men or good women. I believe that that mentality sets people up to settle in relationships, sets them up to embrace someone who does not belong in their life at all. Because the mentality is, well, because there's not enough good people, let me just take what I can get. Let me just be happy with this nonsense, even though I know it is nonsense. Totally. So I think that removing that would have a very positive impact on relationships. Because again, a lot of people, if they would just stop getting in the wrong relationship, they would then be ready to receive the right one. But yes, you get caught up in the wrong thing. And now when that right person comes along, you're stuck in a situation you don't know how to get out of.
It's 100% right. You and I have never spoken before, but I know we're going to agree on this subject 100%. It's also with your, when it comes to your beliefs, it's how you color your glasses, right? If you believe that there's not enough good men out there, you're not going to see the good men. Do you agree with that?
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. So I think that would be a great belief to choose. And how could there not be? How many billions of people are on this planet, right? And I'm sure you've seen it time and time again. I think the problem is we make big reality TV shows out of The Bachelor and all those relationships fail. And we don't give enough credit to the long-lasting, long-standing, real connected marriages. Those don't make TV. And that's why they're not. I think they need to be celebrated more, I guess is what I'm saying.
Absolutely. And I think here's another problem. And this happens with both men and women, but I have to be honest and say this is happening more with women. Part of the reason why there's such a negative perception of men and not being enough good men is because women, many of them, not all of them, are lying to their friends and family about what happened in that situation. I always say, when a woman has, let's say, an actual good man, and things mess up, let's say because she was carrying insecurities from her past relationship or she did things that completely derailed the situation, she's not going back to her family and friends and saying, I messed up. She's saying, he did this, he did that. Perfect example, I had a client recently who said she met a guy, they hit it off, everything was amazing. So they agreed to where they were long distance, she was going to move to his city. She moves to his city and she says, after she moved, he changed and he wasn't the same guy. And they actually, I think, got married and now they're looking at divorce like 6 months into the marriage. Okay. Mm-hmm. But then I said, wait a minute. As she kept telling me the story, people, you get them to talk enough, they're going to reveal things without even realizing it.
Yes.
And so I said to her, is it safe to say that you were never happy about moving to his city? And that quite possibly when you moved and because you were unhappy, you carried a new negative energy with you. And she said, yeah, that would be true. I said, okay, so then we're saying he switched up on you, but you actually switched up on him.
Right.
You were no longer the woman that he fell in love with. And instead of realizing that, you made it all about him. So again, now when she tells that story to other women, she will say, I moved for this man and he changed on me. So now these women will say, oh my goodness, there's no good men. You can't trust none of them. They're all problems.
Right.
No, that's not the actual case. So if we're going to tell people about our relationships, then please be honest and transparent, because you are pushing a negative mindset based off a false reality of what happened.
I like that, man. I like that. Stefan, you tell how it is, man. I like that. That's interesting stuff. Yeah. And again, it really comes down to establishing those beliefs, which then shapes your reality. Do you want to walk around with that thought in your head? Like, you really should identify what you believe about the population pool and you know what I mean? And your possible mates there within.
Yes, most definitely.
Yeah, I know what you mean, man. Listen, Stefan, this has been wonderful. Any parting words here? We're coming up on a half hour. This has been wonderful spending this time with you. Anything you want to share with Lifebook members who are just really looking to deepen their love relationships, looking to go deep and take their love category over the top this year?
You know, I think the most important thing I want everyone to understand is you've got to make time to heal. You've got to really look within yourself. You got to go deeper and identify what are the traumas you're holding on to, what are the negative perceptions you're holding on to, and get yourself to a place of full vulnerability. The best way to see if someone is truly for you is not to hold back and have walls up, is to love with all your heart, because the person who is for you will match your energy. And the person who is not will expose themselves in your overwhelming abundance of love. So let it all out. Let it all out and see who's really for you and who's not. And also get in tune with your spirit, because this world is filled with deception and your spirit is your one saving grace. It's the one thing that can tell you the truth amidst all the lies. Mm-hmm. So learn how to connect with God in your spirit.
Incredible, man. That's incredible. Powerful stuff. Where can my listeners find more of you?
You can definitely find me on my website, StephanSpeaks.com, or on any social media at Stephan Speaks. That's S-T-E-P-H-A-N Speaks.
Go give him a follow, everybody. Instagram too, right? You're up on Instagram?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, definitely on Instagram. YouTube, Facebook, all of it.
Go give him a follow, everybody. What a wonderful interview this was. All right, here we go. I'm taking a crack at it. This is Stephan Labussière and Jordan River signing off, wishing you an extraordinary day. We'll see you next time on the Lifebook Member Podcast. Bye-bye, everybody.